This is the Kindy Rockstars Podcast, Season 5. Bringing you incredibly talented singers, artists, creators, and producers in the genre of children's music. I'm your host, Patrick Adams. Each episode will feature songs, albums, videos, or live performances, along with great stories from the artists themselves. Kindy Rockstar Season 5 is proud to be supported and sponsored by Waltmania Public Relations, serving the family entertainment community for more than 20 years. And now, on with the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Kindy Rockstars. I am delighted to have with me today Grammy Award nominated artists Andrew and Polly. Welcome to the show.
Hey!
Hey, thanks for having us on. We're excited to be talking with you today.
Chop it up.
Great to have you here. And we have a lot of ground to cover. But the first question I want to throw out there is let's learn a little bit about you and how you got into making music for kids.
Yeah, we've been making music all our lives, and we were in our early 20s in New York and trying to figure out what to do, and we did a whole bunch of different things, and then on a kind of an off chance, we'd have some friends with kids, or Polly's sister had kids, and we would sing in a cappella harmony for them, and or strum a little, you know, mandolin on the rug, and realize the joy we could get from connecting to small humans and the play that kind of draws musicians to music, I think, in the first place. It was just this super genuine, joyful play that we got to do with these small humans. And 15 years later, we're still doing it.
We're really, I've thought about this recently, because some of the kids I work with, sometimes they'll be making music and I wonder, is this music you're making for you? Is this music you're making because you want to share it? What is it if you make music and you're in a band, but you are making it for yourself and you don't care about sharing it? Or, you know, that's not your driving intention. Mm. And I've thought about that as I work with children, and I think we're really audience-driven musicians. And the more we sang for kids, the more we wanted to sing for kids, the more we got great feedback from families and
discovered also new ways to sing for
kids.
The more we did it,
the more we were asked to do it, and the more we wanted to do it. So it's just kind of fed itself over the years, and we just keep at it.
And how did that all lead to your first album?
Let's see. So, well, our very first album is like not for distribution anymore. It was just us singing in a living room, and we just like burned a bunch of CDs and gave them out, and they were just a cappella covers of songs. And that's really how we first started. We would just give it to people we knew. There was something about our voices together that was so soothing, especially for really young children. And then it got like funner and sillier and wilder, and we were living in New York in 2009, and I had just left my job making music for advertising, and Andrew had just finished graduate school making music for film, and we still had access to a studio, and we're like, well, what if we'd kind of been toying with these songs for children without really having ever played. I think we played
like a birthday party,
a first birthday party
for some thing.
Oh yeah. And we were invited to play in a community garden, but really we hadn't played that much live, but we had these songs that we had kind of like been noodling around with, and we still had access to the studio, and we were, I think we had decided to move to LA at the end of the summer. So we thought, well, let's record these songs before we pack everything up. Let's record these songs and make an album. And so we put these songs together, and just using, you know, a handful of instruments, and
there was like a real Hammond B3 there in the studio. There was like a nice Rhodes.
Yeah, there was
like,
some cool
real
stuff.
Things.
Yeah. But it was just a handful of things.
Yeah.
And one of the songs on that album was called When You're a Dog, which we randomly wrote, because on the first album, you're getting the whole story.
Yeah, you want
I
the
don't
whole
know if we've
story.
talked about this before.
I do.
On the first album that you can't buy, we did an a cappella vocal cover of How Much Is That Doggy in the Window? And somebody heard it and called and said, I'd like to put that in a commercial. And it was for like a really small company. It wasn't for like a, you know, a big deal. It was just somebody who found us on the internet and said, I'd love to put that on my, I don't even remember what it was for, but
dog product.
I don't know what it was.
Dog book.
It wasn't, yeah, but it wasn't a big enough company that they, you know, and I said, I'm so sorry. I would love to give you permission to do it, but you will also have to get the rights from the songwriter to do that. And, you know, cause that's what you have to do if you want to sync somebody's song. It's not just the performer. It's also whoever wrote it, which in this case was not us. And he said, oh, that sounds like a lot of trouble. And I said, wait, what if I write a song?
Hold on. You have for a few hundred dollars. What you got? Yeah. What if we just write you a song real quick? Yeah.
Since it's what I, that's what I do for work. How about we write and record this song for you real quick? I'm sure we can come up with something great. And, you know, we really banged our heads against the wall and we came up with the song When You're a Dog. And I loved how it turned out.
Yeah.
It was synced to whatever that was. I don't remember what it was. And it also, we were lucky enough to receive the Joe Raposo Children's Music Award from the ASCAP Foundation in 2012 for that song, which launched so many things for us.
Yeah, we performed at Lincoln Center. And we got connected with Children's Television
and
through there.
Yeah, and also began a relationship with SiriusXM Kids Place Live, which became so meaningful and wonderful. And when we first met Mindy Thomas, she was the program director at the time, you know, someone who was connected to us said, oh, I'm willing to send that song to them to see if they want to play it. And she said, she called and she said, send it to her. And so I sent her the album and said, you know, we had won this award. And I also included a new song we were working on, which is called Little Bit of You. And we had just written it and recorded it.
Which also might have been for a commercial.
It sort of like started with an idea, and then it became our song.
Yeah,
and we, you know, it was almost all the way done, but like I wanted to put a trombone on it and there wasn't trombone on it yet. But I was like, I'm just going to burn it on the CD and send it to her.
Yeah, because we burned things on CDs and sent it.
That's how we did things.
That's what we did. Mm-hmm.
And I sent it and she called and she said, well, obviously I want to play When You're a Dog. And what is this other thing? I want to play it too. It's so wonderful. And I said, okay, but not yet, because let me get the tromboner in here. The trombonist.
Yes.
And that was sort of like really what kind of kicked everything like into gear for us. And by then we had moved to LA and we kind of made a pact with ourselves when we moved here. We're going to play shows. We're just going to start calling places.
Yeah.
We're going to figure out how to play kids' music. We love doing it.
Yeah.
We got to do more of it. And
during the week, we're writing for advertising. We're writing for TV and film and indie stuff. And but like, hey, we can do stuff on Saturday mornings. Let's go.
Yeah. Right. So so by then we had come out here and we had already been playing for, I don't know, 6 months or something like that. And we just played everywhere. Every bookshop we could play, every cafe,
libraries,
every library, every backyard, gatherings at the park. Birthday parties. I mean, still what we do now. We still do it now too, you know. But we just jumped in the deep end. We just jumped all the way in.
You were given enough signs that this is what you were meant to do.
Yeah.
Sounds like. Well, that is a fun origin story for how you guys got launched into this. And you've done a couple of other things. You mentioned the film and TV and you also had a podcast, so tell us a little bit about all that stuff. What fun things have you had a chance to work on in film and TV, and then tell us a little bit about your podcast.
All kinds of stuff. We wrote a song for the new Rugrats reboot. We wrote a whole bunch of stuff for Wally Kazam. This was this show that was a Nickelodeon show that aired. And then a whole bunch of different other cinematic things. I worked on the first Smurfs movie. Polly's Emmy nominated for a song she did for General Hospital. Cool. things like that. Yeah. But yeah, honestly, the podcast is our darling, is our baby. We started in 2015, 9 years. Yeah. 2015. And, the first episode was about fruit and it had this song called Grapes on it. We wanted to make kind of a collective vignette-y piece that felt kind of like a modern version of the Electric Company that was made by Flight of the Conchords. That was kind of our vague idea. But we're not film producers. We don't make video, but we knew how to make audio. And we said we were toying around with the ideas of making a kids TV show or figuring out how to do it. But we had a lot of friends doing that kind of thing. And it's a very long train and they lose a lot of control in the development process. And we were still interested in that, but we knew we could make a podcast that that was centered around kids' voices and ideas, like the way we do in shows. We like integrating kids into the act and hearing what they have to say and what they're thinking about. And yeah, that was the kind of the genesis of the podcast.
Our music had been playing on Kids Place Live and we were getting calls from emails and calls and messages on social media from family saying, let us know when you're in.
Yeah, when are you in Texas? When are
Toledo?
You in, yeah.
Let us know when you're in. And we're like, you know, by that point we had one kid. He was little. And I was like, yo, we are not going to Toledo. But how do we connect with our new friends there? And the podcast has really been the most amazing place to do it.
It's called Ear Snacks.
Ear Snacks. What a great name.
Yeah, Ear Snacks. And It's
centered around the idea of parents interviewing their kids.
Yeah. So every episode, kids share what they know about something. And then we get curious about what we don't know yet. And we've been doing it for 9 years and it's such an incredible show to produce. And I think how it lines up with our work for TV and film is you don't always, especially when you're making music for ads, when you're making music for clients, right? You're making music for television, you're making music for film, you're making music for commercials. You're doing the job that you're hired to do. You know, you're fulfilling someone else's, and you're bringing all your artistic skills and all of your own story and integrity and feelings and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's not your project, it's someone else's project. And this is our project from head to toe. We have allowed ourselves to produce the thing that we want to exist. And that has been a just amazing privilege. And I hope we get to keep doing it.
That is so cool. And how many seasons?
It's been on.
It's funny you should ask. Well, let me ask you a question, Patrick. Okay, yes. So you are on the fifth season of Kindy Rock Stars.
Mm. Yes.
And how many years did it take you to complete 5 seasons?
Well, here's the funny thing. I started season one and did 3 months of interviews. And I started season two not long after that. I think I gave myself like a 1 or 2 month break and then did season two. So I actually did the first two seasons, really the first three seasons in a year and a half.
Okay.
And so then I knew, okay, wow. I need to slow down a little bit. And you know, you kind of work your way into your style and what works best. And you know, my first season, everything was song focused. And if somebody came on and they did more than one song, it was multiple episodes. So I would reuse the story, but the song story and the song would be a different episode altogether.
Got it. Yeah.
Well, I ended up with 114 episodes in season one.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I knew that was not sustainable in season two. So I decided, okay, if somebody wants to feature multiple songs, we'll just do like an album feature or something like that. So some of the episodes got longer and, but it was, I think, better. So it's kind of settled into a groove where now each season takes place within a calendar year. So season four was in 2023. And then took a 6 month break. And here I am in season five, which is 2024. It'll be a bit abridged because we have a baby on the way in August. So
that's exciting.
Yeah. So I will finalize my things in August and then just be there for the remainder of the year.
Nice. Well, I wish I could say that We took the same approach as you, but we seem to have taken the opposite
Yes,
approach,
we just did the most unreasonable thing.
where one season can stretch for an infinite amount of time. So somehow in 9 years, we're still on season four.
It's fine.
Love
It's
it.
fine. Don't worry about
I think maybe
We did
we'll
take
do
a.
season five and then we'll skip season six,
Just
seven,
want
and
to catch. We'll
eight.
catch up with. Yeah, go straight to 10. Just go straight to 10. Yeah, why not? We'll take it to 11.
I mean, right? Like Star Wars will
Yeah.
just.
Oh, yeah. You can do start with episode four. Yeah, it's no problem.
What do
Yeah.
you think?
Go back and do prequels. Hey, whatever
Exactly.
works. Whatever
Yes.
works. That's funny. Okay, cool. And everybody can check that out on all the podcast platforms. Do you have anything on YouTube for that?
It's
I think the
all.
podcast is on YouTube, but it's not a video
Got
podcast.
it.
Yeah,
Okay.
we're all about audio. Go to earsnacks.org to find more.
Very cool. All right. Well, we're going to get into some music. And
Let's do it. Let's do it.
before we get into your Grammy nominated album, you have brought up a couple of things, and we're going to feature a couple songs that are not on the album.
Cool.
And you mentioned one that sounds like it was towards the beginning of your musical journey, which
Yes,
was
yes.
Little Bit of You. So we can go
Yes.
ahead and kick off with that. So tell us a
Let's
little
do
bit
it.
more about that song, the story behind it, and then we'll play it.
Well, this song we wrote before we had kids, and but we had been performing for a while in Los Angeles all around, and we had started to meet kids and families, and they would come to show after show after show, and we'd really get to know them, and the special interactions that we saw between the parents and the children really informed us in this song. And we just were witness to so many beautiful, sweet, silly moments. And so we really tried to channel that in this song and have been wondering how we did it ever since.
All right. Well, we're going to check it out now. Enjoy this song. Here it is, The Little Bit of You by Andrew and Polly.
What you gonna do when the sun goes down? Hey, kiddle, I got a riddle. We'll sail this moon right out of town. Hey, pretty, I got a ditty. La la li la 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 loo. Hey, pretty, I got a ditty. La la li la la la. Little bit of you. A little bit of you. Why, yes, that's all I need. A little bit of you. I want a lot, lot, little more, please. You're funny and you're pretty like a little monkey. Hey, honey, you're pretty funny. I put my money on you and me. Hey, child, driving me wild. Run around, run around the whole day through. Hey, child, driving me wild. Run around the world.
And that was Little Bit of You. Now we're going to get into a song that was from your album Ear Snacks, Songs from the Podcast. It's called Tiny Dino. So tell us about this one.
Follow you go.
Well, I think we had kids by now.
Yes.
Just one?
Two.
Yeah, I think we
Oh, no, just one. Just the one. Just the one. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Izzy. And, you know, kids come with a lot of accessories, including toys. and we have this tiny little dino. I think one of my aunts gave it to me.
Stegosaurus?
Yeah. And it was sitting in the kitchen. Mm. But it was at just exactly this right time of day that it cast a very, very long and big shadow. And we thought, how wonderful that this small thing has such bigness in it. And so did our oldest child.
As do many, many children.
And if you look around, many, many children. And we kind of wanted to honor that bigness and also tell the story of a mother and a child, or a mother and multiple children, as they find that strength and they look to each other for that strength and they appreciate each other for that strength. And I just love that song. I mean, we play it at almost every show, I think.
Yeah.
It just has such a great feeling.
It's got kind of a little bit of me and Julio in there. It's got some of like the Juno synth in the background, some Africa kind of 80s-ness to it.
Toto
I don't know.
Stuff.
Toto stuff. Yeah. But it's all about, and we were doing an episode about shadows at the time. So we, yes. this connected with our podcast Ear Snacks, where we took this idea of asking kids, what is a shadow? What has a shadow? Why? And it started getting into the elements of shadows. We interviewed someone from the Planetary Society about the new rovers on Mars at the time, who talked about eclipses. And we also interviewed an artist about creating light sculptures. He's a light sculptor who creates spaces with no shadows. So this is we were able to integrate these grown-up experts in with kids talking about shadows and this song.
Yeah. And so many of our songs, especially from that album, since they're all connected to the podcast, it was like every episode of that season or whatever, how many seasons
had an original
stretch.
Song. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot. There were so many original songs at the time and we still do them. It's harder with the production schedule that we have now, but so many of those episodes really allowed us a chance to think deeply on the topic and then think, and then inevitably a song would come up that would be tangentially connected or directly connected, sometimes informed by what the children shared with us, sometimes helping inform the children of something else. And this is one of those songs.
Yeah. And if there is a universal truth, it is that kids love dinosaurs.
They do like
and
them.
I think we as children's artists should at the very least on one of our albums have a dinosaur song.
Yeah, at least one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually putting one on my next album. It's called Fluffy Dinosaur.
Fluffy Dinosaur. Aww, love it.
All right. Well, we're going to play this song now. Here it is, Tiny Dino by Andrew and Polly.
One, two, three.
Hey, mama, you, mama, what you gonna do? Mama, keep us out of trouble all day and night. Hey, mama, you, mama, we can make it through, mama, cause we got enough love to hold you tight. I may be small, but I'm tough. I know that sometimes things get rough, but I'm learning from you that I can't be big as I wanna be. Shadow.
Yeah.
asshole.
I let out the loudest roar,
'cause I'm an itty bitty little kind of dinosaur. With a fish shadow.
And that was Tiny Dino. All right, now we are going to segue into our album feature. And to kind of set this up, the name of the spelling of your album title is A-H-H-H-H-H exclamation point.
That's correct.
That's right,
now,
five H's.
I have spent a good portion of my day figuring out how am I going to pronounce this on the podcast. Okay. So I thought,
what'd you come up with?
So I had or
oh, nice. Yeah.
Or there are so many potential possibilities.
Yes.
And I won't even ask you what the correct pronunciation is, because I think everybody out there should just look at it and whatever comes to them. But
I mean, it depends on the moment. It depends on the moment, right?
Like exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no matter how it's pronounced, it was nominated for a Grammy this year. So congratulations for that.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amazing. So I want to ask you, what were you doing? What were you feeling the instant you heard that it was Grammy nominated?
I think we said, from an authentic, true place.
Yeah.
That's what came out.
Yeah. And Weird Al was announcing it. And we had written some music for it.
I love that.
And then a weird robot.
Oh,
like
yeah. AI voice actually announced it. Yeah.
How
they said,
ominous was that?
Yeah. Nominated for a Grammy. Andrew and Polly. Didn't quite pull it off the same way you did.
I think Weird Al could have done it much better had they just given him the reins to announce the names.
My sister was down visiting with her kids, and I think one or multiple people in our family was sick at the time. I don't know if it was COVID or strep. We had something.
Oh no, it was that other horrible.
Was that
thing.
Other one?
Adenovirus.
So we kind of celebrated and then we kind of laid low all weekend. It was like that. Yeah.
That's fun. And I got to meet you guys at the Grammys, which was great.
Which was fun.
How was your Grammy experience in total?
It was surreal. It was sort of like, you know, being a Cinderella for a minute.
It's your music wedding. I kept calling it, letting people know it's your music. You got to like think of it. You know how at a wedding, I don't know how many weddings, like you go to a wedding, like you're if you're the bride and the groom, you don't really get to actually hang out with anybody.
Yeah, you get a short amount around. Of time with lots of friends.
Yeah.
You got to wear like a lot
you
of got to
wear all the stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got to be careful what you eat.
Is that right?
Or drink.
Yeah.
True. But it was amazing. It was an incredible honor. And like just being in the room with all these different people who have worked so hard through their careers to get where they are. Like it's not, there's a lot of luck involved. I think there's many, many deserving people who are still working on getting their nominations. But like the people that are there, like everyone has worked so hard getting where they are.
They have.
Yeah. I was about
and
to say, the two of you truly deserved it. It's
you.
A great album, and we'll get to feature a few songs from it. But yeah, go on.
Awesome. Oh, I just was going to say, I mean, one of the most amazing things was obviously being at the televised Grammy Awards, being at the ceremony before where they announced the bulk of the categories. And being at the Lifetime Achievement Awards, which is a ceremony that happens the day before, artist after artist of, you know, the highest known people that, create the most amazing music, like person after person got up and said, keep making your art.
Yeah. Art is important.
And they said, especially at the Lifetime Achievement Award, you had people up on stage who had never been recognized with a Grammy Award or nomination.
Cool Herc, the inventor of the two turntables, Laurie Anderson.
And they all said, we made the music we wanted to make, even though we knew we weren't going to get an award. We made the music that was in our hearts. We made the music that...
was important to our community
that people needed and wanted, and you got to keep doing it. And you know, I wake up almost every day and think I should quit.
It's hard. I mean, it's hard to make music. It's hard to get back to your rainbow shop.
It is, and it's hard to like. I mean, it is a hard job, and you know, said with so much privilege, schlepping bins of drums across town to play at a 2-year-old's birthday party has some joy,
yes,
and some like exhaustion and a little bit of what am I doing. And sometimes you have a hit song and sometimes nobody hears what you make,
or a whole lot of people hear what you make and Spotify is only paying you pennies for it.
That's right. Yeah. And so it's really hard to know how you're doing, and or you know, maybe you love a song but you just kind of aren't sure as if it even if it's good, even if you think you love it. And all of that is what we carry with us in making music all the time when you're making music that other people hear. To have both a moment of recognition from our community that this project was
valuable,
was
worthwhile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also to have this message from these artists who said, you know, they're looking back and they're like, just keep doing it. You know, just definitely do.
Yeah.
Don't stop.
This is the tip of the iceberg. There's a big music making iceberg under recognition.
That was maybe even more meaningful than the nomination, or it was tied up together anyway.
Very cool. Yeah. And I loved the opening ceremony. To me, the actual Grammys themselves were great, but I actually appreciated the opening ceremony because I think, you know, everybody who was at the other Grammys up for an awards were like the biggest of the big names, but the people I think that I personally, you know, could identify with, and it's like, yeah, they're getting their moment now. They have finally gotten there. And in some cases, yeah, they were fairly big stars, but I think it was a breakthrough for some. So
yeah.
And I gotta say, we were so honored to be in the company of the other children's music nominees. We're so proud to be among them, and we're proud of our community for selecting such an awesome, diverse group that represents the whole spectrum of what children's music can be. That's part of what the Grammy Awards should be about.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that was a fantastic group this year. And congrats again to the winners. Uno, dos, yes. Trace Andres.
Andres and Christina.
Yeah, they're great. They
they're awesome.
Came here to Vegas and took my daughter to see them at the library. And
nice. Oh, awesome.
They have a wonderful show. So if you're ever in Vegas, we will come see you.
Ooh, okay. I want to go to Vegas. Should we take our kids to Vegas?
Everybody goes.
Let's do it.
Everybody's going.
Yo.
That's one of the benefits living here. People want to come here. All right. Well, let's talk about the album then.
All right. So
we're going to feature a couple songs from it, but the album as a whole. You know, how did you kind of come up with the songs that were on it? I know you did some really cool collaborations too. What some stories around those, and just talk about the general making of the album itself.
No, you.
Our previous album was in 2019. It was called Go for the Moon. We really thought it had some really great songs, but kind of like our previous albums, like it was a collection of great songs. It didn't have one coherent idea behind it, and we have seen how people have done that, and we really wanted to try how does an Andrew and Polly album work if it has one coherent idea. And
especially because we make music in so many different styles,
right.
I mean, if you listen to something like Little Bit of You or Tiny Dino, we've got like a bit of a folkier, gentler approach, but then we have songs like Grapes or
Chair School
that are just kind of like wacky and and
beat driven.
Yeah, and we were like, well, because all those things come from inside of us. They're all how we want to make music, but how do we also do that and make an album that feels coherent? So that was sort of part of the challenge. And the other part of the challenge was, as parents of, do we have two kids at that point?
Three.
Did we have three?
Oh, 2019 or 20?
No, when we started working on. I can't really remember.
Your
about
third kid was born in the pandemic. Yep.
But I mean, we just navigated so much as going from a family of three to a family of four, going from a family of two to a family of three, going from a family of four to a family of five, seeing our children get older and pass through these like really important developmental stages. And it was a tough, it's all a tough time.
And at the same time, looking out from our tiny family to the world falling apart and who knows what's coming down the road.
Yes, so much uncertainty.
With technology and climate and politics.
And challenges and suffering and, you know, so many complicated things happening in the world. And we started writing these songs about problems.
Problems.
But one thing we know from working with children is that we don't have to accept the word or the concept that exists for something when we can reframe and find a new way. And a problem is not a very fair word for the challenges that children experience and that families experience. Challenge is a good word. Mm-hmm. Opportunity is a good word.
Process
is a good word. And then within that, there's so many more parts of what happens when you have a problem, you know, and a problem.
There's so many parts of the story of a problem.
Yeah. And the word problem makes it seem like something's bad and there should be a solution.
Or it's something to get out of the way.
Yeah. Something to change, right. And something to fix. And that's not how every situation goes. And so as we started thinking about it and writing more songs and writing with more of our amazing colleagues, who really brought so much to this project, we found it was about a lot more. So it's about problems, but it's about that process. It's about learning and growing and changing. It's about struggling. It's about challenges. It's about taking challenges and sometimes knowing when you're not ready to do that and how to get ready for that. It's about so much. And that's how that became this big, massive...
It's how a lot of people feel too. Like you ask, we talked with so many people during the Grammy process, and without fail, almost every individual personal conversation you'd have, somebody would say, it's a lot. Whether they're talking about this process, whether they're talking about what's going on in the world, what's going on with themselves personally.
It was like, really the
so much of humanity is overwhelmed right now. Mm-hmm. So much of humanity is dealing with so many things. And that's worth acknowledging.
Yep. All righty. Well, we'll get into a couple of songs to feature here. And we'll kick it off with Let's Get Mad.
Yeah.
Yes. I love this song. And thank you for the opportunity to share about it.
We co-wrote it with Alphabet Rockers, Caitlin McGaw and Tommy Shepard. They are tremendous artists and amazing people who we've gotten to know over the past few years of doing this. When did we first meet them? Maybe at a Grammy thing, during their early nominations, and then we got to know them more. We were trying to figure out how we could write a song about larger issues that start with individuals, something that feels really tangible to kids, but is about a bigger feeling of what's happening in the world.
Yeah. And, Caitlin, anyone who's ever had the, like, you know, fortune to spend time and talk to Caitlin, you'll be like, I know this. When I tell you, she said in one of our first writing sessions, after we had said like, oh my gosh, it would be amazing to write a song with you for this album, she's like, well, what are you afraid to write about?
Go to your most vulnerable place.
It's just like,
let's write about that.
It's perfect, Caitlin, you know?
Yeah.
And Andrew said, I'm really afraid to think about anger. I'm afraid to think about when I'm angry because, anger is something that is really hard to control. And it's not a stranger.
Do.
Yeah. Well, it's not a stranger to parents. Parents are have cause to be angry often.
and many parents of our generation may not have grown up in a situation where anger was tolerated, or anger was framed or supported or explained, or children were taught to notice their feelings and figure out what to do with them. You had just said anger is something you don't want to do. And we decided to kind of write this song to push back on that idea, that it's not, the song is called Let's Get Mad for a reason, because more often than not, we say to kids, don't be angry, you know, don't, like, let's calm down, don't be like, but it's, we're really, anger is a true feeling. Have you ever seen, if you've ever seen the movie Inside Out by Pixar, anger is, yes, you know, one of those feelings running around in your head, right? That, like, anger is concerned with fairness. It's this, it's something in your amygdala that's like your lizard brain that's telling you something is not right, something is unfair, and your muscles start clenching and your face starts getting hot, and you have to teach your body not to react from the anger. Your job is not to take that out on the world or to throw the feeling out at somebody else. But if enough of us are angry about something that is wrong in the world, can we come together and do something with that anger?
Yeah. And Tommy said something amazing. I wish I had his words in front of me now, but he talked about his own personal experience with anger. He said something like, you know, my response to a situation is the control that I have and the control that I need. And an angry reaction to a situation
is a lack of control.
A lack of control.
Yeah.
And, you know, parents are teachers. We're teaching.
And modeling.
And we're also learning. And it's hard to do both at the same time. It's hard to teach and learn alongside your child.
Right, right.
Right. Yeah. And figuring out anger is something we have to do and something that they have to do too.
I was working through a lot of things at the time during the pandemic, and one of the most helpful gems that a therapist, or I don't know if it was a therapist or a podcaster, said to me, but was that, you know, wouldn't it be amazing if you could go from needing to repair with your kids after becoming angry and not reacting in a good way in your house to a place where your kids would be able to say to you, or for you to be able to say to your kids, do you remember when daddy used to be angry and he would yell and he would get really frustrated out loud, and now he's able to express his anger in a more grounded way? It's not daddy's not ever angry. It's not his feelings don't matter and he needs to not have feelings. It's he needs to learn how to express his anger in a grounded way, and he's allowed to be angry. And that's what you want in your relationship and in growth.
And that's what you want your kids
that's
to what
do you want too. Your kids to be
I
able
mean,
to do.
You I can want be my angry. Kids to tell me,
yeah,
I'm mad.
I'm mad I can't play video games right now.
I don't want them to hit their sibling when they're mad about something, right? But I do want them to be able to say, when you did this, it made me mad, or when you did this, it made me uncomfortable, or that's not okay with me, right? But we have to find those words together. And this song is a great chance to think about anger. Think about being mad. And then, like Andrew said, think about how we can make change when there is something that is, you know, worth being angry about, because there's plenty out there.
And then, there's many different layers to the topic. Obviously, with a four-year-old in the house who, you know, the anger is sometimes warranted, but sometimes not quite rational. Right. I'm angry because mommy didn't give me that chocolate.
Yeah,
things like that. So it's understanding, okay, you're right to be angry about that, or you don't need to really be angry about that. There's a good reason, but
not the right green water bottle.
but then you're absolutely right. There is anger that affects change, and that is a necessary emotion to have to sometimes make something happen. So
that's right.
All right. Well, this song has quite a pedigree behind it. Alphabet Rockers are great. Shout out to Caitlin and Tommy. And let's play the song. Here it is. Let's Get Mad. Andrew and Polly.
Let's get mad. there's a pressure and it's moving up.
I wanted that.
Yeah, that.
How they miss me?
I stomped it off and something tripped me.
I wanna scream. Yeah, it's not what I mean. I need it. I need help, but no one's on my team.
It's boiling up and it's so loud and I clench my fist, wanna let it out.
When they ask me what I need, they should know just what I mean. It's unfair, this world I see.
Gotta go to a mad place right now.
This is safe for it all to come out.
I got a feeling, it hurts so bad.
Do you feel me? Can you feel this bad?
When they ask me what is wrong,
you don't know. Shut me down, tell me get along.
You don't know. It's unfair, this world I see.
About the color of our skin.
Man. There's a race that no one can win.
Not about guns, misinformation, and math.
So mad, no one's paying attention.
Why is it so hard to get anything done?
When we all get mad, it's a revolution.
When we all get mad, it's a revolution.
When we all get mad, it's a revolution.
And that was Let's Get Mad. All right, now we're going to transition over to the song Powerful Wonderful. Tell us about this one.
Gosh, do you ever just need a pep talk because you got to go do something yes. And you're just not sure you can or you don't want to or
society tells you you can't do
at
it?
At least right. Once a week.
At least once a week? Yeah, totally. Well, this is the song for you. This song is...
our attempt at Bruno Mars meets girl power. What is this?
Yeah.
All power.
All power. Yeah. This really started, our collaborator in the song is the amazing Rayana Zaragoza, who has an incredible album out right now.
She goes by Ray Zaragoza.
Oh, she goes by Ray.
Yeah.
Have known Ray for a long time, have made music for kids television with her. We were, honored to, do some arrangements for her for the show Spirit Rangers, which she wrote all the songs for.
Which has an entirely indigenous creative staff.
Yeah. It's one of our favorite shows in our house for sure for preschoolers. And when we started this song, Ray and I started it together as like a girl power song, a song for children who identify as female. And we wanted to give them this message. Powerful, wonderful, fearless and unstoppable. Watch me soar, hear me roar. Every day I change the world. Every day I change. And as we worked on it and the song evolved and we eventually asked, you know, well, could we put this song on the album? We thought, you know, this is really a message for all children. and a message for parents, a message for families.
Yeah.
Because every day we change, and every day we change the world, and we really can do everything. But sometimes we have to give ourselves that message. You know, sometimes we have to pick ourselves up. We've got to dust ourselves off. We have to keep going. And I love this song so much. I love to play it and just dance around the house.
It's very dancey. We got a lot of synths, a lot of horns. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, everybody get ready. Enjoy this one. Here it is. Powerful, Wonderful by Andrew and Polly. That was Powerful, Wonderful, and we are going to wrap up our song features here today with the song The Scientific Method. Tell us about this one.
Well, we couldn't talk, make a problem. We couldn't make an album about problems without talking about the one of the more classical ways of solving problems, which we thought would be both educational and super fun to do with one of our dearest, most longtime collaborators here in LA, Mr. Cookie Jar, CJ.
Yeah, we love this song. I mean, and writing with CJ is always a dream. He's a poet, you know, he really is. And this song is so fun. And I think also part of what we're trying to share about the scientific method with children is that there's room for each of us to be scientists. And also there's room for change in the scientific method, because sharing work and testing hypotheses is what it's all about, you know? There's a lot of bias in science that has existed, and we're so excited for this generation of scientists, and we're so excited for the next generation of scientists to include more voices and more perspectives, and no pressure, but... You know, we're really counting on you.
We're really counting on you.
Yeah.
You future engineers.
They've got some interesting challenges ahead.
They sure do.
let's monitor that AI thing that's going on.
Right.
It was really fun to write too, because we learned ourselves, like, what actually are the technical steps of the scientific method. We did a lot of research. We thought about kind of the range of scientists we wanted to mention. And we also we knew we wanted it to be kind of a more like electronic-y, hip-hop-y kind of song.
Like callback to early hip-hop.
Callback to The Method. Just with CJ, I'm trying to remember how we decided to come up with all the I think I was beatboxing down the street. I was like beatboxing into an iPhone app, and then like we were trying to figure out how do you frame the song? What is the chorus to The Scientific Method? And like I really wanted people to say like, it's the method, and like, take a guess, kid. Like it's all about, it's like we're trying to get kids like excited, bouncing around a room, like talking about The Scientific Method, talking about, you know, Einstein and Curie. So yeah.
That's a good accomplishment. You can create a jam and then someone will learn something really critical after hearing it.
Yeah. It'll stick in there somewhere. Yeah.
All right. Well, I've had a lot of songs featured on the podcast that feature Mr. Cookie Jar.
He's the best, as they should, a
talented dude. All right. Well, let's play it. Here it is. The Scientific Method by Andrew and Polly.
So many things that I don't know. Like, why is that grass so super green? How does light get into a light bulb?
Why is the sky blue? Why does the rain fall? How'd all the water get up there? Is all we got questions? Does someone got some data? Cause really, what's the dilly with antimatter?
There's a really good question. I can't shake it. It's staying in my brain, and I wanna make sense of it.
Every scientist in history has followed these specific steps to discovery.
There's a series of steps to help you get serious.
Observe, ask questions, figure out what you know.
Research, do the work.
Now you're ready to roll, you make a guess.
An educated guess you can test.
Yes, yes.
What's that called?
That's a hypothesis.
Hey, let's try it out, yeah. See how it goes. Whether it's right or wrong, you're gonna learn something, bro.
How can you tell if your guess is correct and verifiable?
Do an experiment to see if it's undeniable.
Is it describable? Quantifiable?
How do you open this?
Use a pair of pliers, fool.
Run it again. Do the results hold up? If you can't repeat the process,
then something is up.
No shenanigans, we gotta go again.
Work until it's perfect. That's the method.
Make a guess, kid. Put it to the test, kid. See what you get, kid. That's the method. Make a guess, kid. Put it to the test, kid. See what you get, kid. That's the method. Make a guess, kid. Put it to the test, kid. See what you get, kid. That's the method. Make a guess, kid. Put it to the test, kid. See what you get, kid. That's the method.
METHOD. Peer reviewed by a science homies. All the world's knowledge is at your toesies. Let the mind progress. We are all scientists.
Einstein, Curie.
Check your bias.
Good all the place.
Cause it's stuck inside us. We need fresh perspectives.
Let the mind progress. Let the mind progress.
Cover it, Copernicus.
Make notes and sketches.
Hawking and
McKenna. Then make some guesses. Every one of you should be making messes.
We are all scientists.
And that was The Scientific Method. So the album is, go ahead and pronounce it however you want to pronounce it.
Ah!
I'll pronounce it this time as ah.
Ah.
Ah. With an extra added couple of songs from early on in your careers, Little Bit of You and Tiny Dino from Ear Snacks, songs from the podcast. So, Andrew and Polly, let everybody know, where can they find, stream, download your music, and how can they find and connect with you?
if you type in the words Andrew and Polly into internet, you will find us on all the music platforms.
Yeah, wherever you like to listen to your music, you can find us. And you can also check out our podcast, Ear Snacks, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to get your shows. And connect with us if you know a child who is interested in sharing their thoughts and ideas. We would love to meet you.
We'd love to hear what they have to say.
Excellent. Well, Andrew and Polly, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us on Kindy Rockstars.
Awesome. And I thought, as a slight bonus for everybody out there, because
a bonus, a drum bonus.
Yeah. we're going to close with another fun song from the Ear Snacks song from the podcast album. And I love the title. It's called Balphabet. So tell everybody a little bit about this song, and we will play it here to close the show.
So many balls.
There's so many balls.
There are a lot of balls.
There's so many balls.
There's a lot of everything. This started out as a car game. I would try and keep Polly awake.
Yeah, we call it Fabets. I think we got to do an album called
Album
Fabets.
Of Fabets. Yeah, we've done Fruit Fabet before, but we do all kind. You can be driving in a car with a child in the back seat, and instead of playing something for, you know, you could, you know, there's lots of different games you can play in the car, but this is a kind of a word one. Let's, through an alphabet, can you come up with a type of ball for every letter? Can you come up with a type of vehicle, a type of dinosaur, a type, you know, like, do the alphabet. And this is an alphabet.
So this is one of the ones we came up with, and it's just so fun.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's just so fun.
For our balls episode of Ear Snacks.
Yeah, we just, you know, but what we do is fun. Yeah. How lucky is that?
Okay, I can tell you the precise moment in the song that made me smile the biggest.
What do you got?
Was when you launched into, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller.
Like John Baldessari! He put stickers on things!
It went right back to the video of the guy, you know, wasn't quite big enough to be a basketball player. But...
Oh, yeah. Just like me.
This happens to the best of us.
So, anyway, it's a fun song, and I think it's a great way to close the show here. So,
all right,
Andrew and Polly, thank you for coming on, and everybody, enjoy Balphabet.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
An asteroid. And Angle Ball. What? It's a real game.
Really?
Look it up. Do you know any balls that start with A?
No, but I do know. Basketball, bowling balls, beach balls, bubbles, balloons, ball bearings. And croquet. And
car.
Game on.
Dodgeball. Donut hole. Eight ball. Eyeball.
Football, football, four square foosball.
Gaga.
And goal. Helmets. Handballs.
And even inaugural balls.
I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller.
Like John Baldessari. He puts stickers on things.
Let me play
Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Hi. Marbles, mini golf, maybe Neptune.
Oh yeah, that's a planet.
Don't forget about pinball
and Quidditch.
Rube Goldberg.
Sports Center. Da 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 da.
Tennis.
Tetherball.
Times Square on New Year's Eve.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. Ultimate Frisbee Umpire, Volleyball and Venus Williams, Wrigley Field and Wimbledon and Wax,
as in a ball of.
Yo-yos!
And yoga balls.
And
I need a nap.